Right, everyone, it's the Ed Boston Podcast. Today it is Monday, the 26th day of 2018. Yeah, it's not the 26th day of 2018. We're a little past that. But welcome to the show today. Glad to be back with you after a week away from the weekly podcast. Don't want to get into a habit of doing that. So we are glad that you are with us. And Well, if you see the headline, weekly podcast, Christian persecution in the United States, ? I guess that kind of fills you in on where we're going with the show today. We got so many topics that have to do with this that I figured I would make that the major focus of what we've got going on. We've got some other news to share, a good news story to start out with, and I'm excited about this. A friend of the podcast, Darcy Lynn, is going to be having a Christmas special on December the 11th on NBC. Darcy, as you know, was the season 12 champion of America's Got Talent, was on the podcast, and I'll tell you this. The Darcy Lynn podcast that we did is the all-time record holder for the number of listens to one podcast. She brought down the house, so to speak. It was right in the middle of the America's Got Talent season 12, and obviously she had a huge following and still has a huge following, and she just blew the previous record out of the water. It would take some kind of fantastic show with lots of promotion to get close to what Darcy Lynn did for us here at the Ed Boston Podcast. The special will be for all ages. We'll celebrate family togetherness here at the Christmas season. The one-hour telecast will feature musical performances and sketches from the talented youngster who is a singer ventriloquist, along with her lively puppets. Several feature performances from such notable guests as Kristen Chenoweth, along with country music superstars Toby Keith and Hunter Hayes, and the popular a cappella group, and I love this, Pentatonix, and noted violinist, dancer, and performer Lindsey Sterling are all going to be part of that big show. We'll be sharing things on social media as well as the edboston.com site, and look forward to what we're going to see there on December the 11th. Let's see. More good news. Friends of the podcast, Pastor Paula White, as well as Natasha Owens, participated in a program at the White House for faith-based leaders, worship leaders, those types of people in the faith-based field, but also as part of a White House initiative. And boy, with some of the things that we're going to talk about today, it just thrills my soul to know that, first of all, it even took place in the White House, then that there are two friends of the podcast there. And again, when you think about where we're going with this podcast here in just a few minutes, then you look and see that this is happening, and I hope that it gives you hope for the Christian faith here in the United States of America. And I keep glancing over to my switchboard because I'm hoping that my wonderful wife will call in and give me a sound check using a lapel mic today, and I want to make sure that that's working okay. But let's get back to the story of the faith briefing at the White House. Contemporary Christian music artists including Carrie Job, Danny Gokey, Torrin Wells, We Are Messenger, Citizen Way, Sanctus Real, and more called upon the name of Jesus at the White House. I also saw Michael Tate from the Newsboys there. The videos that I've seen coming out of that were just fantastic. Christian songs, well-known Christian songs that were being sang right there in the White House. And you think about some of the people that have been in the White House before, and you think, wow, we never thought that that would happen again. And there it was. And to see Paula there, I think she was responsible for a lot of what happened. As I read through some of the Instagram comments and different things that is in an article here at Charisma News, I believe that Paula had a huge part. And if you remember, Paula was the one who gave the prayer at the inauguration. She is close personal friends with President Trump, and it's not just a new friendship that happened when he became the president of the United States. She's been friends with him over 15 years. So a wonderful, wonderful story, a wonderful situation, and that makes me proud of the White House and those that are working there. Makes me proud of people that we know. Makes me proud of the singers and other faith leaders that were there. And it's just a great thing to report on, and I'm so happy. Wanted to look at something, though, that bothers me a lot. In today's world, too many people are looking at things to complain about. And one of the latest things that have happened here is Charles Schultz, Charlie Brown, whoever is involved with a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving have been labeled as racist. Now, that may be the craziest thing I've ever heard. And I say that understanding why it was said, but understanding and agreeing with are definitely two separate issues. And to say that Charles Schultz was a racist is incomprehensible. It just shows that people make claims and say things not knowing at all what they're talking about. Because Charles Schultz, well, let me stop there before I go into that and explain what the beef is from those who've made a big deal about this program. There's a clip, a screenshot, so to speak, of the Thanksgiving table, and there's Linus and Peppermint Patty, and I forget what Charlie's sister's name. Snoopy's there, another person sitting at the end with their back to us, and then there's Franklin, the black character in Charlie Brown. Now, the thing that is being made a big deal is that Franklin is on one side of the table all by himself. The white characters are across the table and at the ends. So the big deal is being made that Franklin is being, he's have a hard time explaining this because it's just, they say that Franklin is being treated differently and basically ostracized, being segregated away from the others. The question is, why is Franklin and Charlie Brown Thanksgiving sitting all by himself at the table? Man, things that I did not notice as a child. Others said, good grief, over the seating chart. That would have thrilled George Wallace. Not watching Charlie Brown Thanksgiving anymore until they set some people on the same side of the table as Franklin. Let's bring up another point with it, in that everybody else has a, I wouldn't say nice wooden chair, but they're all sitting in wooden chairs except for Franklin, and he's sitting in what I've read called a rickety old lawn chair, is what people are saying. I'm not sure how you can tell it's rickety. It's a lawn chair. It's different than all the others. But, and I just seen Charlie Brown's sister is Sally, so don't want to sound too old on this situation. But now let's go to what happened when Franklin was introduced in 1968. 1968, in January of that year, in Vietnam, was the Tet Offensive, which was a huge part of the Vietnam War, a terrible battle. Hundreds of people killed in the battle. That happened in January. In April, on April the 4th, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. That was followed by riots all across the nation. And with all of that in mind, there was a school teacher by the name of Harriet Glickman, and she wrote a letter to Charles Schulz reflecting on what she could do to stem the hate that was going on. She suggested that Schulz should add a black character to the Peanuts roster. And so she didn't think she would hear from Schulz, but Schulz wrote her back, basically said, I think that is a very good idea, but he was, get this racist, quote unquote, was afraid that it would look like they were patronizing black readers, because obviously it appeared in the comic strip before it appeared on television. So Glickman asked some of her black friends to write to Charles Schulz and give their opinions. And so Schulz said, the more I think of the problem, being that there is no black representation in the comic strip, the more I'm convinced that it would be wrong for me to do so. I would be happy to try, but I am sure that I would receive the sort of criticism that would make it appear as if I were doing this in a condescending manner. Actually, that happened before the black families wrote to Schulz. I got ahead of myself a little bit. He was concerned, this racist, Charles Schulz, was concerned that it would be taken in a condescending manner. So then he got letters and one of the letters from a black friend kind of disagreed with Glickman's desire for the black character to be a main character, thinking that a black character who appeared in your occasional group scenes would quietly and unobtrusively set the stage for a principal character at a later date. There is a picture and of the letter I'm looking at, and it's interesting that the word Negro was used here by the black person. Because as I read some of these different stories about Schultz and the character in it and using the word Negro, I thought, how in the world would people get by with saying certain things today? How in the world would Charles Schultz be a racist by including a black person? I'm talking about in today's way of looking at things. Franklin was introduced at a time where the word Negro was used. Franklin was introduced at a time where the nation needed some healing, especially on the racial tension issue. 1868, July the 31st, in a beach scene with Charlie Brown, Franklin appeared in three consecutive comic strips, all of which established his character in broad strokes. Schultz avoided being patronizing by addressing the racial undertones implicitly and indirectly. Franklin brought a fresh perspective and has been a part of Charlie Brown for years and years. And now all of a sudden, and if you watch Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, it is an amazing form of Christian beliefs. The prayer that takes place, it is an amazing prayer. And I just have a hard time getting that, people would use this opportunity to make something into something it wasn't. Charles Schultz was a Christian, and he had to fight to get the Franklin character on the networks. It was a big, big deal. And he stood behind the character when people didn't want a black character in the Charlie Brown series. I'm just wishing that people, before they go attacking something, attacking somebody, would get some perspective on what it is that they're attacking. To compare something from 1968 to something in 2018 is just crazy. Now, you might say, well, they need to make a new Charlie Brown and do whatever they got to do to fix that. Well, that's not been done, so it is what we've got what we've got, and it's a beautiful story. How many of you grew up watching Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown Christmas, the Great Pumpkin, all different kinds of Charlie Brown? I remember I didn't watch a lot of things of that nature, but I watched the Charlie Browns when I was a kid, and there's nothing racist about Charlie Brown, Charles Schultz, and the character Franklin, and not everybody feels the way that is getting a lot of attention right now. At the Blaze, they addressed the situation, and I'm trying to look to see who wrote this article. Sarah Taylor wrote this article. And it starts out by addressing that the show is accused of being racist by many viewers on social media Wednesday night. Now, why in the year 2018 that comes to light and it's not been a huge controversy before this, I'm not sure. She makes the point that Franklin, who happily reclined in easily the most comfortable chair at the table, was seated on one side of the table while his fellow characters were on the other. And Linus is at the other end of the table, and I couldn't tell who was had the back to us, but that was Marcy. It's where Linus gave the history and tells the story of the first Thanksgiving, and he also prays over the meal. Yeah, that's racist right there. He prayed over the meal. Goodness gracious. I can't believe I'm having to discuss this, but I'm taking a long time at it because I believe it's important. And this lady's take is much like mine, but I want to read this quote she made in the article, especially since the character's creator, Charles Schulz, intentionally added Franklin to the cast of characters in 1968 in an attempt to thumb his nose at racism, which was rampant during that time, which was the civil rights era. Harriet Glickman, the one who suggested it, was a white teacher. And Schulz's editor at the time was totally against the Franklin cartoon for a variety of reasons. And Schulz told the editor, well, let's put it this way, either you print it just the way I draw it or I quit. There you go. Racist? Absolutely not. People, get your head out of the sand. Quit trying to find something wrong with everything and just get your act together. Next story I got, and again, don't forget that the podcast name Christian Persecution in the United States with three question marks after it. The headline here, New Jersey University refuses to bring Chick-fil-A to campus over chain's corporate values. Now, let's see. Chick-fil-A is famous for their good corporate values. They don't open on Sunday out of respect for the Christian day of church services. Their founders are Christians, and out of respect as well as the church services and the Christian day that is celebrated. I guess I'm beating around. The Sabbath is actually a Saturday, and so I didn't want to say the Christian Sabbath, but it's the day that we recognize as the day that we attend religious services. But New Jersey's Rider University sent a survey to students asking them which restaurants they would like to see on campus. But when it became clear Chick-fil-A was the top pick, the school told students the popular fast food chain would not be brought to campus. Campus Reform reported that the survey was sent to students during the spring semester, and after the results were compiled, the school sent an email to students on November 1st saying that Chick-fil-A's corporate values have not sufficiently progressed enough to align with those of Rider. The school went on to clarify that the decision was an effort to promote inclusion for all people. Now, Chick-fil-A, because they are Christians and have Christian values, get whipped up on by the left, by homosexual groups, by anybody that opposes Christian values. And interestingly enough, just as in this poll or this survey, that Chick-fil-A was the number one requested It's that way. When you look at most popular fast food restaurants by state, I've seen the map, and Chick-fil-A is overwhelmingly the number one restaurant in numerous states. I can tell you, from the day Chick-fil-A opened here in my hometown, which has been maybe 5 years now, you can't hardly drive by there any time of the day where there's not a long line in the drive-thru. Obviously, you can see that from the road. The parking lot is almost constantly full or almost full. I went in the other day and got some lunch, and the line was almost to the door. And they are good at what they do, and it took me about less than 10 minutes to get through a line that was as long as that was. People love Chick-fil-A, but because they have good corporate values, they're not going to be at Rider University. Wow. The next story, and I've got a couple of stories that go together here, not because they intertwine, but because of the topic that you'll see here in just a second. I had a hard time finding an article that I wanted to use on this from a conservative standpoint, so I ended up getting a story that, well, just listen to the headline and you'll see where this story will go. The prom's lesbian kiss sends Christian homophobes into a frenzy. Now, if you don't know what that means, there was a kiss between two women during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and it outraged anti-gay Christians. So if you Google this, you get all kinds of articles from all kinds of different publications. That this may be the worst headline that I saw, but other headlines that talk about the same thing. The article starts out, the homophobes were clutching their pearl onions on Thanksgiving after the Broadway show The Prom, there's where that comes in, it's a Broadway show, made history with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade's first ever same-sex kiss. While so many people on social responded to the image of two women kissing in front of millions during the time-honored event with messages that love is love and stories about how the benchmark moment made them cry, there were, of course, detractors and haters. Let me just tell you right now, I slept in that day. I'm not a fan of parades. I know that there are some good performances, and if I want to see them, I can get them on YouTube or whatever. But Amy was up early that morning because she was cooking some things for our family Thanksgiving, and somebody had encouraged her to watch the parade. And so she turned it on, which is not normal for her. She doesn't usually like parades a whole lot. Not that she dislikes them, but they're just not her thing as well. And this happened right at the very beginning, this kiss. And she turned it off. And immediately when I got up, told me that the story of what happened. And said that she immediately turned it off. And, you know, I was hoping that maybe she was overreacting, but no. As I read and check out what other people are saying about it, it happened. And in today's society, I suppose that's not a big thing to most people. But let me just ask you this. While we as Christians don't want to see that and don't want our children to be exposed to that, why is it more important for those who support that behavior to get their way than it is for Christians to be respected for their beliefs? Their belief is that love is love. That's what it says here in the article. It made people cry. So that is what they want. As a Christian, I don't want to see that on something that is supposed to be family oriented. I don't want to see that period, but I don't want my kids, who are adults now, but I don't want children, Christian children, to have to look at their mommy and daddy and say, why are those girls kissing? It was an affectionate kiss. It wasn't just a kiss on the cheek that it was a greeting. It was an affectionate kiss. And so why is the other side's beliefs more important than my belief? Why is it that in my hometown here, they have a gay pride parade, but wouldn't think of allowing a Christian group to have a parade where they said their beliefs that homosexuality is a sin? And my detractors, I know, are going to say, well, they're going to use the homophobe, they're going to use hate, they're going to use whatever bigoted expressions that they can direct towards me. And if you want to do that, that's your right. You live in America. You can say what you want, believe what you want, think what you want. But that's not the case. And I could go on about reasons why I can prove that I'm not that way. I've told them on here many times. I'm not going to share them with you today. It's just, as with so many things, we don't get an even playing field. We don't get an even playing field. And then the next article that we come up with, actually, you won't read this on the mainstream media. I got this from CBN News. The headline here says, former LGBT people, now Christians to share message of Jesus' love in L.A. A group of ex-LGBTQ people are getting ready to take the streets of Los Angeles, California, to declare the transforming power and love of Jesus Christ. The march takes place, and this is an older article, on November the 4th. It featured worship, praise, and testimonials from people who call themselves former homosexual, bisexual, transgender individuals. Each person comes from a different part of the country, but all of them have the same message. There is freedom from sexual confusion and sin through Jesus. It was the second Freedom March since the first one in May took place in Washington, D.C., featured two survivors of the Pulse nightclub shooting who say they left behind their LGBT lifestyles after the attack to have transformative relationship with Jesus. So many people would say, oh, this is bad, bad, bad. You can't talk this way. More people need to know that once gay, always gay doesn't have to be the case. There are people that are no longer gay or any of the other labels that the initials there stand for that can testify to the fact that they were that way, they're not that way now, and that opinion doesn't want to be heard. And understandably so from that side, because that's bad attention for that cause. They don't want people to know that. They want people to think that if you're gay, you're gay, and you have no other choice in the matter. I get it. Again, I understand, but I wholeheartedly disagree. And so there are two stories there about the homosexual lifestyle that are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. We've got the KISS on the Macy's Day Parade, and we've got homosexuals who are marching to say that you don't have to be a homosexual and that you can live a different lifestyle after being openly homosexual or even closet homosexual. I should have just phrased that differently. And I've never actually even heard this phrase this way, but once gay, always gay is not a have-to case. And I'm stumbling over this way of phrasing things because it's not something you hear every day. It's just not. Going to go to a story that is the source of a podcast that was posted over the weekend. An organization called Christian Music Festival, a Toronto-based ministry founded by Molly and Jay Banerjee. And this actually comes from a press release from Brian May's group, Nashville Publicity. Says they have joined a long list of Christian organizations being targeted by social media giant Facebook. For several years, the Banerjees have produced numerous community events in the Toronto area, and they have frequently used Facebook to promote them on their page, Christian Music Festival, and have had phenomenal results with that. But this year, that changed. Their attempts to boost the festival, which took place in October, failed, as did attempts to boost a GoFundMe page associated with the event. And so the Banerjees thought that it was a glitch, but it wasn't a glitch. And after, you can listen to the interview with Molly. You can find it on the Facebook page, the Twitter page right now. I'm going to have a more in-depth story up at edboston.com in the next day or so, talking about some other things that have happened related to the podcast here. Another organization or group that we know, Zion's Joy, had a similar thing happen. Even myself promoting a podcast with, of all people, Hartman from Fairly Odd Parents, the creator. I got a nasty gram basically from Facebook about that, saying it was promoting bullying. And yeah, right. Okay. When you hear the entire story of what Facebook made them, the hoops they made them jump through, and still didn't get a resolution, we've got a serious problem, folks, that major, you know, you don't get bigger than Facebook in social media. And if they're going to discriminate against Christians and conservatives, then Molly suggests that we have got to get our own promoting things in the social media area. And I know that there have been attempts, but you know, basically Facebook has a monopoly on those things, and it is not good for Christians and conservatives. Oh, looking to see my well. I was looking to see how much time I had left, and my switchboard is kind of goofed up, so I'm just going to keep going. Got a story here, again, from Charisma News. Jim Carrey. Yes, that's right. The comedian Jim Carrey, who I have loved his work for many, many, many years. I love the Ace Ventura series. I loved him in Dumb and Dumber, that series of shows. Liar, Liar, and all kind of things. But he had some interesting things to say about the Christian right. According to actor Jim Carrey, America will soon find out once and for all that the Christian right has never been about morality. It's about holding on to power and using morality to do so. Let's see if we get some more quotes in here, because actually the article here at Charisma Media is asking if Carrey was white. I mean, right. Not he obviously is white, but obviously, if you know anything about him in today's world, you know that he cannot stand the president. He constantly has things to say about people whose morals follow what yours and mine would. But I was glancing farther down in this article. The writer says, I suggest then that Jim Carrey and others who share his convictions would do well to ask themselves a series of simple questions. First, when you express your outrage against Donald Trump, is it because you find him morally offensive and a threat to our nation? I really don't think so. Second, if your answer is yes, then do you vote for Democratic candidates because you believe they will do a better job of fighting against the dangerous conservative right? Well, I'll just let you answer. Third, are you therefore using your moral outrage in order to gain political power, or are you voting for candidates who share your moral outrage? Are you assuming that you are not using your moral outrage as a tool, but are sincere in your convictions? Why is it so hard to understand that those of us on the right feel the same way, just from the opposite side of the spectrum? Once again, we go and we talk about there not being a level playing field. The article is written by Dr. Michael Brown. He goes on to say, perhaps there's a more fundamental problem. Perhaps, Mr. Carrey, it's that you don't believe Christian conservatives can ever be sincere. If that's the case, I suggest you get to know some of them up close and personal. It might just change your perspective and even your life. Once again, we come back to the topic of a level playing field and knowing what it is that you're talking about. Those two things seem to be quite prevalent in the subjects that we've talking about today. Looking to see if I've covered all of the topics I had up. And I believe I have. Got several interviews to get posted this week. Some really good things that have come up recently. And actually, I'm behind on getting these up because I get so many requests anymore for interviews. And that's a good problem, but I've got to get on it and get these interviews up for you to hear. Some of them are timely, and I've went ahead and got those posted. Others are not time sensitive, and those are the ones I still have to work on. And I'm thinking, what is it that I want to conclude with? How about this? Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for being with us today. And I thank you for your love and your goodness and your mercy. Father, I pray that Christians will be bold and stand up for our beliefs. And I also pray, Father, that people who are against us and disagree with us will give us an even playing field and will give us respect. They may not like what we stand for, but it's hard to even have to say over and over again that the other side of the equation, those that don't believe in Christianity, want to be haters. And Father, I just ask that you would open their minds. And I'm not even asking here, Father, for them to become part of the Christian faith. I'm just asking at this point, Father, that you would help them to allow us to observe the beliefs and the religion that we have. And Father, you know my heart, and you know that I want anyone who is not a Christian to come to a saving relationship. But in this case, I just want people to treat us Christians like they would want to be treated in their lives. Thank you for opportunities that I have through this podcast. And I thank you for all that you do for Amy and I and this part of our ministry. And I just thank you for continuing to nudge us along, Father. And Father, I also pray that you will help us to continue to have the fire, but to push that fire into overdrive. I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for this day, and we pray this in his name. Amen. All right, folks, edboston.com is where you can find most of our things, social media. You can get our links to social media at edboston.com. Thank you for being with us. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend, getting ready for the Christmas season, and we'll have some things here in the weeks to come before Christmas gets here on our Christian Christmas beliefs. God bless you, folks. And go out and do the right thing.